Amen. I want to preach on the disciples' delight this morning in Colossians chapter number 1 and verses 9 through 11. When you find that portion of scripture, you can stand with us. And that lets me know you found it. Amen. It's found in the New Testament. Amen. Praise our God. Hallelujah. Colossians chapter 1 verses 9 through 11. It says, "For this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to desire that ye might be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that ye might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might according to his glorious power, unto all patience and long-suffering with joyfulness." Praise our God. Hallelujah. Man, that verse sounds like what we've been experiencing already in this church service, doesn't it? Amen. The things we've already heard, the songs that have already been sung. You may be seated again this morning. Once again, disciples' delight. What brings joy to your heart? What brings joy to your soul? What brings you peace? How much power of God is working within your mind? Amen. Yes, in your mind. Do you realize that's where the battles are won, is in your mind? Because your mind is where you make your choice. Hallelujah. Your mind is where you roll it all around and you look at all the circumstances and you calculate all the avenues, and that's what your mind was given to you for. It was to help you make decisions in your life. Amen. It's just like when you're going to buy a vehicle. What do? First of all, you start thinking about, okay, what kind of vehicle do I think I want? What kind of vehicle do I need for my circumstances that I am in right now? I mean, you know, the Cisneros bought a big Suburban. That meets their needs. They like to have everything in there for when they travel to New Mexico. They can put it all in there and make the... So they chose the Suburban again. Amen. They just chose a different color, a newer model. Amen. Hallelujah. Brother Larry Joshua, he just got him a new vehicle also. And I'm sure he began to contemplate which kind he wanted. He figured he wanted that medium size. He didn't want the big Suburban. He don't need one right now. Later on in life, there's no doubt in my mind, should the Lord tarry, he'll have a big Suburban. Amen. He may not. It's just, you know, as life changes, your needs change. Yeah. Well, you do all that calculating. You don't do it in your big toe, do you? You don't do it with your hands. You do it with your mind. It always starts in the mind. Now, I mean, if you're going to, I hate to go to this direction, but if you're going to exercise, where's it start? Starts in your mind. Starts with a want to. Starts with a determination. Starts with a discipline. I mean, anything you're going to do in life to change anything about your life, it all starts right here of making up your mind. Making up your mind. So why in the world do we as Christians so many times think that our Christianity depends on something besides our mind? Why do we think victory depends on something besides our mind? See, don't misunderstand me. Victory depends upon Jesus Christ and the grace of God moving, but where is he going to begin to move? In our minds. Because this is where we operate from. We don't just go through life aimlessly like a robot, do we? You know, we haven't been programmed to come to a door, look at the doorknob, then contemplate, all right, turn the doorknob. Are you catching the robotics? You know, the reality, it's not like, okay, take one step, take one step, take one step, take one step. That's not how the mind operates, is it? I mean, the mind operates when you want to move your feet, just start going. Yeah, somebody, here we go. Yeah, come back here, we go. Woo. Now, how did I catch that? Did I have to sit there and think, all right, reach out, catch that, reach out there, catch that, reach out? No, I mean, you just, whoa, there it is. You catch it. Somebody throws something at you, what do? You You automatically just catch it. I mean, it's why? Because your mind, your eyes saw, you reach out there and you catch it. I mean, that's how the mind works. Woo, hallelujah. What's going to happen when the child of God gets his mind saturated with the Word of God and the power of the Holy Ghost, and the enemy begins to throw temptation at you? You're going to reach out and catch it and throw it right back at him. Woo, hallelujah. Why? Because you've brought that under subjection to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. You see, it's not hard to be a Christian. It's not hard at all. All you have to do is make up your mind. You see, this is the disciples' delight. This is the disciples' delight. Hallelujah. You see, this is why Paul began to pray. You notice the scripture we read here this morning. He says, since the day I've heard, I have not ceased to pray for you. And it is the desire, his desire, God's desire, that you might be filled with knowledge of his will in all wisdom. Notice what he's saying, in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. Hallelujah. How many realize with this pastor this morning, knowledge is not necessarily wisdom? Remember what I asked you as we begin this? What can God do? And automatically your knowledge is everything. And then I asked you, okay, is he doing that in your life? This is where wisdom kicks in. You have the knowledge that he can do everything. Wisdom then is taking that knowledge and applying it to wherever you're at in your walk with God. And getting the understanding. See, that's different than knowledge too. Amen. Getting the understanding that he's going to do it in me. And figuring out what he wants you to do for it to happen. Woo, praise God. Hallelujah. You see, God will do the calculations. What I have to do is I have to be willing. Amen. I've got to be willing. See, once again, you're back to the mind. You're back to the choice. God's given us that gift. A choice to choose what you're going to do. Now in Romans 12, chapter number 1, you're going to find most of these scriptures are not new scriptures to you. You know these scriptures. You've read these scriptures. You have knowledge of these scriptures. But are you wise in these scriptures? Do you have understanding in these scriptures? Hallelujah. Romans 12, 1 and 2, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. There's that mind again. That ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. In other words, to prove it means you're showing it. Be a show out. In a righteous way. Let Jesus Christ show forth. In your vocabulary. Let him show forth. In the way you operate in your life. In the way you treat other people. Hallelujah. It is our reasonable service. And the way this is going to happen is by the renewing of my mind. Change your mind. How many times have you thought that you just can't change your mind? Well, that's a wrong thought. Because you change it every day. You get up in the morning, you put on a certain pair of shoes, and then you look at the apparel that you put on with those shoes, and all of a sudden you look down and you say, "Dude, I ain't wearing those shoes. They don't match what I got on." I'm talking maybe morally here of the feminine. You know, most of us men, we just wear our shoes, whatever they are, we wear them. You know. But the ladies will always look to see if their shoes match with what they're wearing. And if they all of a sudden realize, ooh, that doesn't match, what do? They change their mind. Because when they first saw those shoes, oh, yeah, I want to wear those today. But then when they begin to survey, oh, no, I don't want to wear those today. They just changed their mind, didn't they? Why? Well, it was an outward source, if you will, because they begin to realize, ooh, this doesn't work. And there's a lot of times I'll pick out a tie. Sister Pepper come along and say, ooh, no, that don't go with. And she'll give me a different one. And so I've just learned all along the way, what tie do I wear this morning? Amen. You know, that way I'm at least I'm color coordinated according to her eyeballs anyway. Praise God. And sometimes I think, ooh, that don't go to you. Yeah, it goes to you. Okay, so I just go ahead and go with it. Doesn't bother me any. Does it bother you? Does my tie bother you today? I'll take it off if it does. I mean, just change your mind. How many times have you went to a restaurant and said, oh, man, I want this. I'm hungry for this. And you open up the menu. Oh, I want that. What'd you do? You just change your mind. So don't tell me you can't change your mind. Because all these things point to the fact that you can if you want to. Woo. Oh, well, yeah, change your mind. Hallelujah. Just drop it. Just forget it. Just forgive them. Praise God. What'd you do? You changed your mind. You renewed your mind into what the Word of God said. If your brother offends you, forgive him. Woo! Hello. Hallelujah. Are you getting the picture here that this is the disciple's delight? In other words, as a disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ, this is where we find our delight, being able to do those things that we couldn't do normally. But now, through Jesus Christ, we can do all things. Through Christ, I can do all things. Do you have the knowledge of that scripture? Where's that found? Philippians 4 and 11, is that correct? Is that where it's found? Do you know? Philippians 4 and 11, is that, I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me? 4:13, very good. Very good. So you have knowledge. Did brother forget that just your test? Woo. You'll never know that one, will you? Oh, whoa. Now, who's right? Is it Philippians 4:13? Is it Philippians 4:11? What is it? Did anybody look it up? Does anybody know? You got it? Okay, she's got it on her phone. You were right. I was wrong. But do you have understanding of that scripture? Do you have wisdom of that scripture? Can he do that in your life? Can he do that in my life? Woo, praise our God. Are you getting the picture this morning of the disciples' delight? I want to know what he wants me to do. And I want to be changed so I can do it. And I want to walk there. Hallelujah. By that same grace that saved me. This service this morning, church, has been orchestrated by the Lord. The Spirit of God has been moving in this house from the time you got up this morning. Hallelujah. He's been moving in your heart, moving in your life from the time, I'll not say you got up, when you woke up this morning. Hallelujah. Praise God. If you're like me, you may have got out of bed, but you didn't wake up till 15, 20 minutes later. Amen. But when you finally woke up, he began to move in your heart and your soul. Why? Because it's Sunday. It's the first day of the week. You're headed to the house of God. You're headed to a rendezvous with the Holy Ghost and the Word of God. You're headed for a place where God wants to help you become stronger, wiser, and more powerful on the face of this earth. Woo, praise our God. This is why Sunday mornings and Sunday nights and midweek service are so exciting. Hallelujah. Because God already begins to work for those designated times for the things that I need in life right now. Woo, hallelujah. Not what I'm necessarily going to need in the future, though it'll help me for the future. And definitely not for what I need in the past, because that's already done. But to help me right now to change my future. So he can't change the past. He can forgive that, cleanse that, and wash that away. But he can only deal with you right now. And if I will move with him right now, then my future will change. Amen. Hallelujah. See, he knows the beginning from the end. We'd have that knowledge, right? Do we understand that? Praise God. So we see, let's move on. Romans 6:19, I speak after the manner of men because of the infirmity of your flesh. For as ye have yielded your members servants to uncleanness and to iniquity unto iniquity, even so now, it's now, yield your members servants to righteousness unto holiness. Amen. Basically, when we were lost and without Jesus Christ, we just lived from sin to sin. We just made decisions and choices upon what we wanted to do in our life of sin. But now that we're a child of God, we've been redeemed, we've been washed, we've been cleansed, we've been born again by the Spirit of God, we've been filled with the Spirit of God. Now, let's yield our members, and notice the terminology, yield, because it's your choice. Yield your members as servants to righteousness unto holiness. See, it's I choose to be righteous. I choose to be holy. I choose to follow Jesus. It's all a choice, church. It's always a choice. Always we have choices. Galatians 6, 15 and 16, for in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision availeth anything, nor uncircumcision, but here is the difference for all human beings, but a new creature, born again by the Spirit of God, new creature in Jesus Christ. And as many as walk according to this rule, peace be on them and mercy and upon the God of, and upon the Israel of God. So here we find that number one priority in your life is a new creature. Being born again by the Spirit of God. Having that change birthed inside of you. That's the most important factor in any human being's life. Not going to church, not reading your Bible. Those things come. They are important. But the most important thing is to know that there's been a new creature created inside of you. You'll know that if it's happened. If you don't know that's happened, it hasn't happened yet. Amen. And so that's what we've got to pursue. That's what we've got to be after. That is the disciples' delight. You will find throughout the history of the church and the history of the disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ, you will find that there were many that followed Jesus and were very devout to Jesus, but they hadn't been born again. You'll find one in particular, gentleman in the Bible, his name was Apollos. You'll find him in different books in the Bible, and you'll find when you read about his account, then when he came, I think to Ephesus, I'm just pulling off the top there, that he had to be enlightened by Aquila and Priscilla. Because all he was preaching was the baptism of John. Repent of your sins. Turn from your sins. Be baptized in water. That's all he was preaching. That's all he had knowledge of. And he was fervent in doing it. But that wasn't the fullness of knowledge, was it? That wasn't the fullness of Christ, was it? And they began to explain to him about Jesus Christ. And guess what transpired in his life? Yes, he was born again by the Spirit of God. A new creature was created inside of him, and he became another powerful preacher of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And he could stand toe to toe with all of the Jewish leaders. Hallelujah, because he was learned in all of that. But now he'd been born again by the Spirit of God, and a new creature had been created inside of him, and he'd been filled with the Holy Ghost. And now he was preaching the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, and not just promoting religion. Hello. Amen. Just because you talk about Jesus, just because you go to church, doesn't mean you've been born again yet. Hallelujah. It will be an experience you will never forget the entirety of your life, even in heaven. Because when Jesus Christ comes in and creates that new creature, you'll never forget that. Even if you backslide, you will never forget what he did for you in the beginning. Woo! You'll never forget it. Now, if you don't have that, when we sing that song, I never shall forget the day, my mind goes right back to that day. And I can tell you how it happened. Hallelujah. If you don't have that, then you've not had it yet. Hallelujah. Doesn't mean you can't have it, because it's for all who will believe. It's for all who will give themselves wholly unto the Lord. Hallelujah. It's there for the having. As we choose, that's what we want. See, I had to do that. You know, when you're 23 years old, I don't know, you know, if you can remember when you were 23 years old or not. But when you were 23, and some of you haven't reached 23 yet. But when you're 23 years old, you're kind of set-headed. You know, you're kind of you're young. You're full of vivaciousness. You're just. I mean, you know, you've got the world. You've got purpose. You've got plans. I mean, you're 23 years old. You know, and all of a sudden, God begins a deal in your heart and in your mind. Something's missing. Whoa, this is not just for 23-year-olds. I got news for you. It's for you right here, right now, today. Amen. Something's missing. But see, when I was 23, I thought I had everything I needed pertaining to Christianity. I had a heritage. I had teaching. I had training. I had certificates. I had pens. I mean, you know, what else could you need? You know. A good track record, a good rapport with people. Wow, man. I mean, what else would you need? I mean, you know, everybody would brag on you, how good you would do. And I mean, you know, and just the kindness that you would show to different people. They never saw the anger and the meanness that you can show also. But, they, you know, most people just saw the goodness, you know. Whoa, you know, it's one of them, I mean, good old boys. Wow. What else would you need? You must be born again. Yeah, I didn't know what that meant because I was taught it meant something totally different than what it really means. I was taught to be born again that you just went through a ritual. And once you finished the ritual, then you had it. Well, I didn't have it. And so can you imagine in your mind the work God had to do to change my mind? To get me to the place where I would admit something was missing. Because church, that may seem weird to you, but every time I'd go to church, that's what would begin to stir in my heart. Something's missing. Something's missing. There's something you don't have. Something's missing. Something's missing. Immediately in your mind, what's your mind start doing? You start looking, okay, well, what's missing? What can I put there? What do I need to do? What's missing? You know, you start looking for something you can do. Nothing was there, you know, because in my mind, I was doing anything. I was doing everything I thought. Are you seeing how sometimes the mind is a deceiver? I was doing everything I thought needed to be done. There's something missing. Something missing. Mm-hmm. Something's missing. In John 15:16, and he did. He showed me. But he didn't show me till I asked for it. That's strange, isn't it? He never showed me what was missing. He just kept telling me something was missing. And he brought me to the place where I was wanting to know. And then it was to the place, Lord, I really don't care what it is. Whatever it is, I want it. That was my prayer at that altar. Lord, I don't know what you want. I don't know what you want to do. Whatever it is, I want it. He gave it. Because I finally asked. Wow, sometimes we get so prideful and we don't want to ask for help. Anybody been there besides me? You don't want to ask for help. You'll figure it out on your own. I mean, you're talking to an analyzer here. You'll figure it out on your own. You ain't going to figure nothing out. Just ask him for what's missing. Come with a sincere heart and ask him, Lord, what's missing in my life? Whatever it is, I want it. You come with an attitude like that, you'll leave the altar with it. Praise our God. Hallelujah. That's that humbling of that heart. That's that asking, and ye shall receive. Hallelujah. Praise be to our God. John 15:16, you have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you that you should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain. And whatsoever ye shall ask of the Father in my name, he may give it you. Wow. Praise our God. Hallelujah. See, you just got to ask, and he will bring it. Because Actually, he's choosing us. He's moving on us. Grace is abounding towards us. And he's bringing us to that place of faith that even though we may not know what it is, we do know that he can bring it to pass. Hallelujah. And that's where faith begins to kick in and we begin to ask and he will give it to us. John 12:24 says, "Very, verily, I say unto you, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. But if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit. He that loveth his life shall lose it, and he that hateth his life in this world shall keep it unto life eternal. If any man serve me, let him follow me, and where I am, there shall also my servant be. If any man serve me, him will my Father honor." Aren't you thankful for the blessings of the Lord that come when I'm ready to be planted and die so I can bring forth fruit? Hallelujah. Glory. You see, if we serve the Lord, then the Lord is going to bless us. That corn, that kernel, that seed, when it's put in the ground, it dies. But in its death, it brings forth that sprout, that brings forth that plant, that brings forth fruit multiplied. For instance, a soybean. One soybean is placed in the ground. It'll die, but in that process of death, that sprout comes forth. And as that soybean plant grows, sometimes if it's got great conditions, it can grow 4 foot tall. And in that process of bringing forth fruit, it's not going to bring forth one soybean. Although there's been a year or two, we've seen that on the farm. Whoa. But in the good conditions, it'll bring forth 60-fold, 80-fold, 100 times what was put in the ground. Wow. You see, this is the only way you and I can be fruitful in the kingdom of God and in our Christianity. We've got to be willing to be planted and die. Amen. In Psalms 84:11, it says, "For the Lord God is a sun and a shield. The Lord will give grace and glory. No good thing will he withhold from them that walk uprightly." Amen. In this utter dependence of all things upon the creative will of God lies the possibility for both holiness and sin. Talking about you and me. Our choices, our mind. One of the marks of God's image in a man is his ability to exercise moral choice. The teaching of Christianity is that man chose to be independent of God and confirmed his choice by deliberately disobeying a divine command. This is how sin entered into the world with Adam and Eve, because they became independent from God. This act violated the relationship that normally existed between God and his creature. It rejected God as the ground of existence and threw man back upon himself. Thereafter, he became not a planet revolving around the central sun, but a sun in his own right around which everything else must evolve. It's making a reference back to our solar system, and how that the sun is the center of our solar system and everything else orbits around that sun. And as long as the earth is in its orbit and everything as is God created it, the earth will sustain life for you and I. You see, in Christianity, Jesus Christ is the sun. And you and I must orbit around him. And as long as we're orbiting around Jesus Christ and he is the center of all our decisions, then everything is going to go well and there will be life. But what happens to man is he wants to become his own son. And he wants everything else to orbit around him. Of course, that is where sin enters in. You see, God, Jesus Christ, has to be the center of everything about us. A more positive assertion of selfhood could not be imagined than the words of God to Moses, "I am that I am." Everything God is, everything that is God, is set forth in that unqualified declaration of an independent being. In other words, God's not dependent upon anybody else. Yet in God, self is not sin, but the picture of all possible goodness, holiness, and truth. In other words, God is God. Hebrews tells us we have to believe that God is. He's not dependent on us. We are dependent on him. Amen. The natural man is a sinner because and only because he challenges God's selfhood or God's independence or God's being the creator in relation to his own selfhood. And in all else, he may willingly, now listen to this, in all else, he may willingly accept the sovereignty of God. In his own life, he rejects it. So here he's talking about having a knowledge, but not really possessing or understanding. For him, God's dominion ends where his begins. For him, self with a little s becomes self with a large s, the deification of self. In this, he unconsciously imitates Lucifer, that fallen son of the morning who said in his heart, "I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will be like the Most High." This is man, unregenerated man, who puts himself at the center of his universe. And everything's got to go his way, or he is upset. Yet so subtle is self that scarcely anyone is conscious of its presence. Because man is born a rebel, he is unaware that he is one. His constant assertion of self, as far as he thinks of it at all, appears to him a perfectly normal thing. He is willing to share himself, sometimes even sacrifice himself for a desired end, but never to dethrone himself. No matter how far down the scale of social acceptance he may slide, he is still in his own eyes a king on a throne, and no one, not even God, can take that throne from him. Wow, that is a depiction of man. His life may slide down to the gutter, so to speak, but he still thinks he's got it all under control. And he doesn't want to be dethroned from the center of his universe. That's why we need to be like Sister Pepper and pray, "God, help them consider their ways. Help them see there's that vision. Help them see there's something missing." You see, the disciples' delight is not to be on the throne of their heart. The disciples' delight is that Jesus Christ is upon the throne of their heart. That is the disciples' delight. That is the joy of salvation. That brings the joy of the Holy Ghost. That brings the peace that passeth all understanding. Everything pertaining to all the blessings of God is when God is upon the throne of my heart. Amen. Hallelujah. Willing to die so that fruit might come forth. Hallelujah. I'm going to wrap this up here this morning. John 15. Verses 1 through 8, I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me, and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine. No more can ye, except ye abide in me. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me ye can do nothing. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch, and is withered, and men gather them, and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. If ye abide in me, and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit, and so shall ye be my disciples. Amen. Disciples' delight is to be fruitful for the King, to be fruitful for our Savior, to be fruitful for our God, to allow the Word of God and the Spirit of God and the Lord Jesus Christ full control of our minds. Of our hearts. Hallelujah. Amen. Whatever's going on in our heart, amen, that's what's going to be in our mind. As a man thinks, so shall he be. You see, it's a matter of winning the warfare right there where it begins and letting the Word of God, hallelujah, dominate our thinking. Amen. Oswald Chambers said, there is no condition of life in which we cannot abide in Jesus. We have to learn to abide in him wherever we are placed. Amen. We got to abide in Jesus in the house of God. Amen. We've got to abide in Jesus in our homes. Amen. We've got to abide in Jesus at our places of employment. Praise our God. Wherever we're at, that's where we need to abide. In Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. If we abide in him and he abides in us, then it's going to happen. There's going to be fruit. There's going to be change. There's going to be light to shine to a lost and dying world. We've got to get it in our minds that we're to abide everywhere. Everywhere. Hallelujah. That's when we're going to begin to experience and we're going to begin to portray Galatians 5:22, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. In other words, there's not anything in God's Word that will make me do these things. But I have to be willing to let them flow from him. Amen. There's not a policeman to come by and give me a ticket for not being joyful. Do you get a picture? There's not a policeman to come by and pull me over and give me a ticket and a citation or hold me to jail because I'm not being loving. So there's no law against these. This is just what flows from a disciple. This is just what flows from that believer filled with the Spirit of God, walking in the Spirit of God. Amen. I know your mind because I know how minds operate, or I know how mind operates. You think, well, yeah, but what about all them people that are filled with the Holy Ghost and they ain't doing right? How in the world did you know that? Who made you judge? How do you know they're not doing right? Well, I know the Word of God. Are you filled with the Holy Ghost? No. I thought you said you knew the Word of God. Don't you know the Word of God says you're supposed to be filled with the Holy Ghost and you're not? And you're condemning someone that's filled with the Holy Ghost and they're still not doing well either? What kind of deal is that? It's a bad deal is what that is. Oh, that's not wisdom. That's an excuse. Using someone else for an excuse for me not being obedient to the Word of God. That's a lame excuse. And it won't hold water with God because God expects you to walk in the Word. Now, just because someone's not overcoming because they've been filled with the Holy Ghost doesn't mean they haven't been filled with the Holy Ghost. It means they have not yet learned how to walk in the Spirit of God. Amen. You see, you can't throw the baby out with the bathwater. So many people try to do that, but you can't do that. You got to take it for what the Word of God says. And the Word of God says, be filled with the Spirit of God. Hallelujah. Then it goes on to say, walk in the Spirit of God. You're going to be filled with the Spirit of God, then learn to walk in the Spirit of God. It's all a process, church. Amen. And we cannot use someone else's behavior as an excuse for our behavior. We can't justify ourselves because someone else done wrong. Has anybody ever done that in here besides me? Yeah. Well, they provoked me. Oh, back up. Where in the Bible does it say that if you're provoked, you have the right to be bad? Show it to me. I want to see it. It ain't going to be there. What does it say? It says, pray for those that despitefully use you. Love your enemy. Now, if someone's provoked you, that means they must be your enemy or they ain't acting right. And what are you supposed to do? You're supposed to love them. See, in other words, we got to take the Bible for our personal walk. If someone else can control how we act, whoa, wait a minute. Who's supposed to be controlling how we act? The Holy Ghost, the Spirit of God, the Word of God. If someone else can bring me to a place of disobedience, whoa, what's going on there? That's just humanity and the epitome thereof. Adam, why did you eat the woman? And the woman, why did you eat the serpent? Well, always blaming somebody else for our behavior. That's normal. That's natural. That's the old man. And even those that have been filled with the Spirit of God fight that battle. Hallelujah. We do. But see, that's the battle we fight. Amen. We must fight the fight of faith, laying hold of eternal life. Hallelujah. We've got to be able to let love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance, against such there is no law. And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lust. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Hallelujah. Ephesians 5:8, for ye were sometimes darkness, but now ye are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord. And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. For it is a shame even to speak of those things which are done of them in secret. John 15:8, herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit, so shall ye be my disciples. Amen. The disciples' delight. If you haven't come to that place yet in your life where you have learned that the joy of salvation is linked to my relationship of surrender to Jesus Christ. If there's not a lot of surrender and I've not really stepped off the throne of my own life, then my joy of salvation is not going to be there. It'll always have to be propped up. Someone will always have to come and prop up my joy. Someone will always have to come along and help me be happy. Someone will always have to come along and it's because you haven't stepped off the throne of your heart and found that deeper walk with God, letting Him lead and guide you. And thus your source of joy is coming from within because He's there ruling and reigning. And though circumstances don't go your way, yet you're leaning on Him. You're trusting in Him. You're finding your joy in Him and not in those things that are around you. You're finding it in Christ. Hallelujah. That's the disciples' delight. Christ within. That age old, well, you know, it doesn't make any difference how I live my life or what I do on the outside as long as Jesus is in my heart. That is a statement of someone who has a very small amount of knowledge about Jesus Christ. Because if Jesus Christ is in your heart, then all your decisions are going to change according to His Word. All your choices are going to change according to what He would do. And your life is going to change dramatically. Because when we come to Jesus, we are sinners. And our habits are sinful. And our ways are selfish. And our self-will has ruled and reigned all of our life. And now we're coming to a place where we're trying to give rule and reign to Him. Brothers and sisters, sometimes that's difficult. And the older you are and you haven't surrendered your will, the harder it will be. But it doesn't mean you can't. Praise our God. Hallelujah. Because I can do all things through faith, which strengtheneth me. See, I can. It's just a matter, do I want to? Do I want to pursue it with all my heart, with all my soul? Do I want what God wants? And how desperate am I to have it? Well, for the disciple, it's his delight. I'm going to have it because God's died on the cross so I can have it. Praise our God. The price has been paid. So I can have it. Hallelujah. I can be filled with the Spirit. I can overcome sin. I can dethrone self and put Christ there to rule and reign. I can because I choose for it to be there. Amen. Let's stand to our feet. Sister Pepper, would you come back to the piano? The disciples' delight is totally different from the delights of this world. The disciples' delight is all about Jesus Christ, all about God's Word, and all about the Spirit of God. Hallelujah. The disciples' delight is what we must pursue in our Christian life. Amen. Christianity is not a smorgasbord that we choose what we want. Christianity is we have chosen Christ. And that means everything that He is and who He is and what He wants to do in our lives. Amen. That's Christianity. Praise our God.